glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, March 1st, 2023. Happy March, everyone. And if you were tuned in yesterday, there just wasn't enough time to cover all the topics. In fact, I still have the two pages of notes in front of me. We had a special BMIC weekend retreat. It was their winter retreat. I think one of the biggest turnouts they've ever had. A number of brothers that got to meet for 2 days, times of worship. CC Doss was wonderful. A lot of contributing people shared little testimony time and various things about how they were touched or moved. But Kevin DeVries was the primary speaker, and he facilitated a number of discussions. You would have heard yesterday some of his testimony and life story, and the one where he really literally died for about 15 minutes and what he saw and experienced and how it changed his life and has equipped him today to know that God still has plans and purposes to work out through him. But today joining me is Bernie Lechman. You've heard him on Mark and Friends, I don't know, 4, 5, or 6 different times. He's written a couple different books, but he's going to say a few things more about Kevin today because he befriended Kevin a few years ago, and Kevin said, I've never met anyone like Bernie, and so we kind of laughed. There is only one Bernie Lechman, but Bernie so appreciates Kevin for a variety of reasons, his effective ministry, the True Summit and Base Camp, and so we're going to learn a little more of how if you're a man and you want to be more involved, you can find out about Grace Exploration at graceexploration.com, graceexploration.com. But we're going to talk a little about this movie that we got to see this past weekend, which was unbelievable. It was a little bit story about climbing Mount Everest and some of the faith journey and what Kevin came to realize through that experience. But Bernie, you were excited to bring Kevin to our area. You said you couldn't wait. And I think he met our expectations and exceeded them, right? I mean, all the guys I talked to, they were so blessed because Kevin did a couple different things. He touched on some core issues that men have, that many of us have. Really looking back, what shaped us? What is maybe holding us back? What's keeping us from God? And he peeled back some of that veneer, or he maybe peeled a few layers where we have to deal with, why do I keep doing that? Or why are these habits seemingly dominating my life? And Kevin really touched on a bunch of things. What was maybe a takeaway before you introduce Kevin a little bit for our listener today?
One thing I remember is when you talked about pain being the portal to purpose, and I know you'll expand on that later on, but his general approach to bringing the fact that each man has a story, could be a bad story, could be a good story, but how we can use our life experience and our story to live at a different level, a different plane, where we can see Christ through his word, through worship, and draw closer to God. And I think every man, I was looking at their faces while he was doing all the speaking and sharing, and the attention, and especially during the movie, there was a lot of drop jaws there. Photography was magnificent, as well as the narration. I think that a lot of guys may take a long time to process what they saw, what they heard at this past retreat here this past weekend.
Yeah, and I think I told you, I have 2 full pages of notes. But Kevin, I really want to give this time for you to share what's on your heart, along with helping us understand what is Base Camp and what you hope God does through this movie, The True Summit, which was phenomenal. The portrayal, the footage, it was just unbelievable. I think it's a film that not just men will enjoy, and not just Christians, but I think all men, and I think women would be blessed by it because it's an adventure.
And it wasn't a Hollywood movie either. It was a local guy from Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I think what we were trying to do was to, in some ways, juxtapose the Himalayan range, which is dramatic. There's no parallel in the world. I've climbed all over the world, and there's just nothing like the Himalayas. The tallest peaks on many of the continents are just little foothills in the Himalayas. So it's just a whole transcendent experience. the Nepalian culture is very contemplative. So it puts you in that unique space where we wanted the viewer to essentially see the gorgeous cinematography and the drone footage and jaw-dropping, breathtaking, literally, landscape that you're participating in. But we also wanted to create this sense of, wow, this guy is really inviting me to take an inward journey. So all the narrative is bent towards that. We're inviting people. We're introducing people to that whole concept of maybe the greatest journey is within. Maybe the true summit has nothing to do with an actual peak. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not even a place. Maybe it's a space. Maybe you've already climbed Everest within. And maybe the hardest mountain to climb is not these external mountains that we see. Maybe the hardest journey in the world is at 18 inches. Maybe it's not 18,000 feet or 18,000 miles. Maybe it's just getting out of your head where a lot of the trauma lives and where all of our thinking is and our ego, and getting down to the heart, which is where our deepest life is. But it's very difficult if either one of those are in pain to communicate with each other. So I think we were successful in that regard. You know, it's really rough on the front end. You don't know where it's going to go. And you're dealing with low oxygen levels. So you're basically a space cadet while you're trying to film. It's a very difficult place to film, let alone just climb. And so it was a God thing that we were able to pull it all off. And just hearing Bernie and yourself, Mark, speak about the impact it made on you and watching other men, I'm very grateful that it seems to be having an impact.
Yeah, it's funny when you said breathtaking, and it's because literally it's hard to breathe up there, 18,000 feet. And you had one illustration where when you get to a certain peak, you really have to go down, you have to descend in order for healing to take place, and especially if you get a cut. Or talk a little about that, because I think there are parallels with many of our lives that sometimes we move forward, but we also have to back up or retreat or descend to really garner the greater lesson that God wants to live through us.
Yes, we call it the doctrine of descent. It's not really popular in some parts of Western civilization because we like to think of excellence and peak performance and earning this and achieving that. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should have goals, for sure. But the spiritual life, the spiritual kingdom, is actually just the opposite. Christ was always talking about humility. He was always talking about being last so that God could make you first. Mm-hmm. He was talking about how the way to heal is actually through humility. And so one thing that you can draw from Buddhism, and I'm not a Buddhist, but we worked with Buddhists, obviously higher up you go in Nepal, it's all Buddhists. They do have one thing right. I don't agree with their end game theologically, but they do well in the deconstruction of the human ego. So some of the finest people you'll meet in the world are the Sherpas that work for you. They'll die for you. They carry your stuff. They're super kind, unbelievably humble. And I'm like, man, I wish I could meet more Christians like that, that are just kind, that are at peace with themselves. Now, again, I'm not going to get into theological thorn bushes here because I believe that Christ is the only way. But boy, they really know how to deconstruct the human ego. And if we could learn that more as westernized Christians, that the way to the kingdom is to become a child, it's to become humble, it's to descend. Like grace, you don't earn grace. You actually stumble into it. That's the whole cross. It's called the scandal on it. It's the rock. It's the stone that we stumble upon. And so one of the things that we found as I began climbing decades ago, I was always fascinated with why in the world are all these climbers going all the way up to Camp 3 on Everest? It's 23,500 feet. You sleep with oxygen. You're approaching the death zone, which begins at about 25-ish or so thousand feet. So you're right there. And then they do something that seems so counterintuitive, actually foolish. They take you all the way from Camp 3, Camp 2, Camp 1, through the Khumbu Icefall where people die every year. It's basically skyscraper chunks of ice that collapse on each other. And if you're in harm's way, I mean, you see all those crevasses that are opening and closing like the jaws of a dragon, you know, and you've got these ladders that are flimsily put together. I mean, it's crazy. So you go through that again. Hopefully in the middle of the night, so the ice has its most integrity and structure. Then you go through base camp all the way down to Namche Bazaar to do what? To get well. Why is that? Because nothing heals in thin air. If you have a paper cut, if you have cerebral issues or gestational, whatever, nothing heals in thin air. And so we try to tell men, look, if you're especially a type A guy, high achiever, you're probably redlining and you don't know it. You are living in thin air. You cannot live at the summit. You've got to get back down and you've got to get well. And to get well, you have to do community with people. And that's where Base Camp comes in. The metaphor, which is our signature event with our ministry, is Base Camp is a place where you get medical attention. It's where conversations happen. It's where you recalibrate. It's where you can actually talk and think and eat well and get well. And that's how you approach the mountain of life as a metaphor. And you stumble into this whole idea of maybe I'm climbing a false summit. Maybe the narrative that I'm living is false. But you don't know that until you get well. And when you get well, you see things right.
And people can learn more about your ministry, Grace Exploration, at graceexploration.com, graceexploration.com. And this concept of base camp is where men gather together. They can be transparent. It's a confidential, smaller group that can bring really healing and hope. And part of your story yesterday, so if you missed yesterday, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, it is archived at wluj.org. WLUJ.org, and also at greatnewsradio.org, because Kevin shared some of his faith journey and a death experience where literally he was looking down at his dead body, if you will, and he saw an appearing of Jesus and some really neat, special, revealed truth that he was told, "You're not ready for you to come home." And so God has plans and purposes for him. But one of his passions is bringing healing and hope to men. And this base camp, you have them all over Michigan, but there's quite possibly the chance that it'll spread around the nation. And the movie, The True Summit, could be a catalyst that God uses to raise awareness. So talk a little about the base camp and how people can find out more.
Yeah, so everybody likes to watch films. We go to the theater. We just love watching something, and it's the way we're hardwired. And the best authors, the best filmmakers, they basically create a story in your mind, and it plays itself out. So we thought, you know what, let's give a low entry point that's fascinating, that appeals to a bunch of people. What better way to do that than to make a documentary? Because it captures the ethos of what we're trying to say. That's maybe the beauty of poetic language or cinematography, is the best things in life, the hardest things in life, the most difficult things to comprehend are actually beyond explanation. They have to be expressed. And so you have to find some type of artistic container, whether it's a film or a book or a poem or a song, music, lyrics of some type, to actually express something. And so we're trying to, through the use of film, we're trying to express something that's really, quite frankly, a little difficult to explain. Mm-hmm. I mean, grace is this thing that's really hard to get your mind wrapped around, because grace itself actually smashes, it deconstructs the human ego, because it doesn't let you achieve or earn anything. It's totally God taking the initiative and giving you something that you have to be actually humble to receive. It takes humility to receive grace. It's much easier for us to just build our own construct and be performance treadmill folks rather than dare the pilgrimage trail. But we're hoping that the film creates an appetite in people, especially with men, of, wow, this is really cool. The stuff that they're talking about, like change happens in community. Like, what does that mean? Or if you don't journey together, you die alone. Like, what is that all about? Yeah. And just seeing the camaraderie of these guys praying for each other and being there to help each other. I mean, guys will experience that in the military. They might experience that in college, but as they get older and they start businesses and they get involved in stuff, they find, for the average American male especially, he almost becomes friendless by middle age. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have that foxhole experience. He doesn't have that fire team of three or four guys that he can call at any time and just totally crack open his chest and spill his secret out and get something off of his chest, either after it's happened or before it could happen. And so we're trying to create an atmosphere with base camps, and they're in places where men already are, all over Michigan. There's dozens of them now, and we're poised to take this nationally because we believe that shame is actually the master emotion. Mm. When you go back to Genesis, yeah, there was sin, but what was the first reaction to that? Shame, and then hiding, and then posing. And then before you know it, you're living a false narrative. You're not living the way it was meant to be. And so we're trying to create a space, a safe place, where dangerous stories can be told, for the singular reason that that's where shame is healed. And then we find that as other men share their stories, guys are like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. And they're, oh, I'm not the only one. And then you have a Q&A session, and you can ask a guy any question you want. And then a guy walks out that evening, is like, yeah, I didn't really expect that. I thought this was just going to be another elk lodge or a moose meeting or something. And it's like, these guys went pretty deep, and they talked about Christ being at the center of it and has this gospel orientation, but it's not churchy. And some of the language is a little colorful, but I feel God in this place, and it's the least place that I would expect. Maybe this is what Jesus did, just showing up where the party was and doing crazy stuff for the kingdom. And that's what we try to do, is create those spaces for men to hear the gospel through a narrative, through a dramatic narrative arc of another man's story, and to hopefully help that man understand that maybe, just maybe, God wants to tell his story through your story. The good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Whether it's your fault, someone else's, or whether you think it's God's fault, at the end of the day, it becomes immaterial, because now you have a lens to look through. You have a biblical worldview, and you have the construct and the context where you can now process the information. And instead of just collecting dots, you're connecting them, and you see that, wow, maybe it's like Joseph. My brothers had to betray me and had to sell me into slavery. Because the only way I could get to Egypt to be in the right place at the right time to save the world was through betrayal. So be very kind to the people that have hurt you, whether it's yourself, other people, or whether you perceive that to be God. That may have been the only door that God could have had you pass through to get into that right place.
Amen.
You can find out more at graceexplorations.com, graceexplorations.com. And how can they access the True Summit, the movie? Is that available yet, or do they need to invite you and your ministry team to come to their church or their theater or their locale?
Yeah, when they get on the website, the best thing to do is to click on the Everest page, and that'll basically collect their email. And then we are going to do our national launch after Easter. We're kind of just getting our ducks lined up because Easter is a huge deal in churches, and we want to get past that because everybody's thinking about Easter at this point. So once we get past that, we're going to release this nationally. But right now, we're really focused on men's leaders. So if there's any viewer that's out there that reaches men, these are the guys that we want to talk to because they'll help us to reach a million men a lot quicker than if we just did it on our own.
So I think your goal is to reach a million men across the country, and you already have base camps outside of Michigan. This seems to be more organic than, say, the national movements like Promise Keepers, Iron Sharpens Iron, which is a once-a-year conference, whereas the base camps are once a month maybe, or how regularly, and the organic growth of this base camp movement meet, and that way it will last a lot longer that way because it's stepping up from the ground up.
Yeah. So there's nothing wrong with conferences. There's nothing wrong with one-time events. There's nothing wrong with stadium events. God bless Promise Keepers to basically show and pave the way for the local church to start men's ministry.
That's right.
So it accomplished its objective. Mm-hmm. What we're more focused on is less events and less conferences, and we're more about community. I think that's the backside of a conference or any curriculum where it's very content-driven. It's great. It's informational. You're getting a lot of really good stuff, like toolbox kind of stuff, equipping seminar. That's where you and I had met, through Iron Sharpens Iron. It's beautiful. It's certainly needed. It's not what we do, but it's what they do, and God bless them for it. Our angle more is, okay, so now what? So we have to create a community where some of this stuff can be further unpacked, and to create community, you can't really program that. You can't like, okay, we're going to do this and that, and that's going to create. No, community just happens because you're giving guys a space to start doing life together. They get to know each other's secrets. They get to share things. They go on hunting trips, fishing trips, or whatever. We're just trying to create a figurative fire. C.S. Lewis talked about this. He called it the Golden Sessions, and it was the creation of the Inklings, the guys that wrote, you know, Middle Earth and Narnia. And he said it was the best of anything that he ever did because it was time outside time. And it was, you know, your favorite drink is at your elbow. Your feet are pointed towards the fire. And because they're British, they're smoking their pipes, you know. Something happens in that moment. And so we're trying to get guys into a space. It's usually 30 to 50, 75 guys in a company size, talking of a military unit. And we want them to picture it as a campfire talk. So it's not performance. We don't want a bunch of PowerPoint stuff running around. People get that in the corporate world, and it just shuts the brain off sometimes. We want them to feel like, hey, there's a guy that's staring at the same fire that you are, and he's telling a story, picture the stars, and as these stories float, you know, like embers, they become a constellation of stars, and it lights the way for other people. It becomes beacons on mountain peaks or a lighthouse on the shore, whatever metaphor you want to use. But we want these stories to create communities where guys are doing life together. So that's really the engine. We want to create communities that are gospel-centered. Yes, there's events involved, but at the end of the day, we have to get guys doing life together because the center has collapsed so much in our culture that the only way moving forward, I believe, is it has to be a community-driven, well, ultimately Christ-driven, but it has to be a Christ-centered, community-driven ministry. Because content alone, I don't think is going to cut it.
In case you just tuned in, we have Kevin DeVries in the studio here, along with Bernie Lechman. You've heard him before. Kevin DeVries oversees the ministry Grace Explorations, and you can find out more at graceexplorations.com, graceexplorations.com. Kevin, I wrote down the word deconstruct because oftentimes for men to move forward, and I'm sure there's a host of men that are listening that are saying, well, you don't understand my story, Kevin. I've failed in this way. I come from a broken family. I've been twice divorced. I've had these issues. Can God really use me? So I want you to, in our closing minutes, address that person that just feels like they're not capable to serve God any longer because they failed, along with why is it important at times that we have to be deconstructed?
Yeah. So the best teacher for me personally has been failure. When I was successful, I hardly learned anything, to be honest. I learned very little being successful. But when I failed, well, wait, was that a teacher? Now, is that the only teacher? No. There are other ways to learn things, but I look at things through the context of failing successfully, having a successful failure, where it appears as if it's a failure, but it actually was a teacher. You never lose unless you don't learn. And so the deconstruction process really is about getting to a space where your ego is not driving everything anymore. And a lot of our belief systems are actually very ego-driven. We don't realize it, but our pride is at the forefront. So Grace, if you were to personify her, she can dance with anybody except the proud. And why is that? Because if you're proud, what do you do with your hands? You clench them. It's about control. It's about manipulation. It's about anger. It's about being right. It's about asserting all your rights. But Grace, the only way you can receive her, you have to keep your hands open. And it's a very simple gesture, but she can't dance with you unless your hands are open. And yeah, so Christ was always, in his teachings and his parables, was always talking about this deconstructive process. It's just we're using modern language to extrapolate that. But he was always about walking in humility. And the only way you can be humble is if you're healed. And it works both ways. You become healed when you become humble, and you become healed when you become humbled. And so it works in tandem with each other. And I just tell guys, look, the best way to heal is to humble yourself. Then you allow Christ to come in your life and heal you. You allow brothers to come in. But our pride, so Christ was always talking about the entrance to the kingdom and what is the way that you enter the kingdom? Well, you have to become like a child. And if you look at a child, especially a young child, there's not a whole bunch of ego there. They're just innocent. They're filled with wonder. And they're open to any idea. They're kind of in this liminal state, you know, where they're absorbing all kinds of sights and sounds, and they're making memories. And sometimes as adults, we just get stuck in these ego system. We don't even realize it, but it's prideful. And the worst kind of pride is religious pride. And Christ was not kind to those people. I think he called them Pharisees. Actually, he called them worse names than that. I don't know how it actually compare to what our contemporary language is, but we have to get into a place where we're willing to be humbled. Not humiliated, that's the work of the enemy, but humbled so that we can heal.
Well, listening friend, I hope you'll take the opportunity to search graceexplorations.com, graceexplorations.com, learn about a base camp, and hopefully after the Easter season, maybe we'll have either Kevin back or we'll have more information, because there's no reason a base camp can't start right here and now in Illinois or in Indiana, as there'll be resources and materials will be made available in the coming days, I'm sure. So find out more at graceexplorations.com. Well, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Bernie, for being a part of the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Today's program and yesterday's program with Kevin DeVries is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org. Maybe you know a friend that needs to hear this message and also some of Kevin's testimony, which was archived yesterday. So we hope you'll stop by our website, look under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Bernie Lutchman, and Kevin DeVries with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.